Anastasis, Anastasis, and you had it. But on the form and get into an understanding, and then I said, okay, I accept this military data test by sweet, and then sweet, say, tending one of these steps, the Peter and Lady would tell us, I have a bunch of opportunities to do it. Many days ago, we were reading about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's return to Jagannath Puri. And when he did return, first, all the Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya introduced him, or rather introduced all the residents of Jagannath Puri who had become devotees, all extremely qualified persons, high quality persons. They had been longing for Mahaprabhu's return. He had been away for approximately 2 years. And when he returned, they were all eager to meet him. And one by one, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya introduced them to him. At the same time, he sent Krishnadas, Kala Krishnadas, to Bengal, to Navadvip, to inform the devotees in Navadvip that Mahaprabhu had finally returned to Jagannath Puri from his South Indian tour. And then different devotees who had known Mahaprabhu previously arrived. We heard how Srupa Damodar arrived, and we heard half of what happened to Govinda when Govinda arrived. Govinda ended up being the personal servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Govinda was he's a godbrother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he came very quickly to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was a godbrother, but yet he was going to become a servant. So there's a discussion on that point. Sri Chaitanya then continues speaking to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is in the middle of all these interactions. He said, Mahaprabhu said to Sarvabhauma, consider this point, vichar, means discriminate about this. The servant of the spiritual master is always respectable for me. As such, it is not befitting that the guru's servant should engage in my personal service. Yet, my spiritual master has given this order. What shall I do? Because Sripad Ishwar Puri had ordered Govinda, at the time when he was leaving this world, he ordered Govinda to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And yet, he was the servant of his spiritual master, so he was very respectable, and you cannot take an extremely respectable person and engage him in the service of one's own body. That is demeaning, or it's an act of pride. So Mahaprabhu couldn't do that by the sadachara, by the etiquette. But yet, on the other hand, his spiritual master, Ishwar Puri, had ordered Govinda to serve Mahaprabhu. So it was a point of sadachara. So, here is Prabhupada's purport on this. So, what is the proper etiquette? Purport. If a guru's servant or disciple becomes godbrother to another disciple, they respect one another as Prabhu or master. No one should disrespect his godbrother. For this reason, in other words, they're on an equal level, considered on an equal level. For this reason, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya what to do about Govinda. Govinda was the personal servant of Ishwar Puri, so therefore he had to be respected so much. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual master. Ishwar Puri ordered Govinda to become Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal servant. So what was to be done? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was therefore inquiring from Bhattacharya, an experienced friend, that also, when the order comes from outside, then it's easier to execute because it's known to be completely unbiased, not biased at all by one's own thoughts. So Bhattakahe, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, Guru Agya Hai Balaman. The Guru's order is very powerful. Guru Agya Na Lagya, cannot be disobeyed. Shastra Praman, this is the injunction of Shastra. Translation. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, the order of the spiritual master is very strong and it cannot be disobeyed. That is the injunction of the Shastra, the revealed scriptures. So, in other words, he's saying that the order must be followed. So if he ordered Govinda to serve you, even though there is some breach of etiquette in doing so, that order is the most important principle and it should be followed. And then he gives an example and a quotation from one of the Puranas, Raghuvansh Purana, Upaprana, and another quotation. Next one is from the Ramayana. Being ordered by his father, Parsaram killed his mother, Renuka. This pastime is also in the Bhagavatam. Just as if she were an enemy. Lakshman, the younger brother of Lord Ramachandra, immediately engaged himself in the service of his elder brother and accepted his order. The order of the spiritual master must be obeyed without consideration. And then from the Ramayana, the order of a great personality like a father must be executed without consideration, because there is good fortune in such an order for both of us. In particular, is good fortune for me. So that must be Lord Ramachandra speaking after he was exiled. Because Bharat, Lakshman's prime allegiance was to Lord Ram, even to more than his father. So he said, why are you going to go at this time? You shouldn't go. And then Ramachandra replies, yes, I must do this. After Savabhama Bhattacharya said, Sri Chaitanya, so he speaks, and then he gives two shastric pramanas, proofs. After Savabhama Bhattacharya says this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Govinda and engaged him in the service of his personal body. Everyone respected Govinda as the dearest servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Govinda served all the Vaishnavas and saw to their needs. When a devotee would come, or when, because Govinda always had all the remnants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's food, so he had all that Mahaprasad, because he would be serving Mahaprabhu. So he would distribute almost all of it and just take a little bit for himself. He was very such a very good-hearted, kind, obedient, and knowledgeable servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's a famous incident that illustrates how deeply deep his mood of service was. When one time Mahaprabhu was, after taking prasadam, Mahaprabhu would lie down and take a little rest. So this time, and Govinda at that time, he would massage his legs while Mahaprabhu was taking rest after taking prasadam. And Mahaprabhu lied down on the inside of the doorway. So, and when he was just about half asleep, seemingly half asleep, he said, Govinda, please massage my legs. I want to take rest. Please massage my legs. But Govinda couldn't get to his legs to massage them because he was on the inside of the doorway. Please massage my legs, but couldn't you please move out of the way so I can do that? Oh, I can't move. I'm too tired. I can't move. But how can I step up? Do as you like. Do as you like. So what Govinda did is he took a piece of a cloth and stepped over Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because the etiquette is so strong, especially in Bengal, amongst the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, very, very strong points on etiquette. In Bombay, Baba, there's no more etiquette, no more sarachar. But in Bengal, so they're very, very, very careful about touching people, their feet, or even stepping on someone's shadow. Yes? In Bombay, it's like that? No. Uh-huh. How about in Kankri? Kankri.
Yeah. Never. Stepping over all that I used to.
And how about shadows?
No shadow, no.
No, they're not that strict, because there's a consideration that there's a very intimate relationship with the person in a shadow. So they won't even, so that's how much respect for the person they have. They won't step on even his shadow. What to speak of touching their feet to him, not even their shadow, his shadow. So it's all based on respect, because Mahaprabhu taught that you should give all respect to others and not expect any respect for yourself. So in Govinda, he put a cloth over Mahaprabhu, and then he stepped over, and he massaged Mahaprabhu, and then he went to, and then Mahaprabhu took rest. And then usually what happened was, after Mahaprabhu was taking rest, then Govinda would take prasadam himself. So when Mahaprabhu awoke, he saw that Govinda was still in the room, and he hadn't gone to take prasadam. So he asked Govinda, you know, why haven't you eaten yet? And he said, well, you were in the doorway. How could I step over you? And then Mahaprabhu said, well, you stepped over me to get into the room. And Govinda said, but that was for service. To eat, which is for me, I couldn't do it. So what a, first of all, so discriminating. This is vichara, Vaishnava. This is sadachara, but this is vichara. This is discrimination. So one has to be very, very careful. Because the devotees are very careful about what they don't want to insult or offend anyone were to speak of another devotee. They're so careful about that because they know that this can destroy one's chanting and one's own advancement, somehow insulting a devotee. So very, very careful. And there's a very famous story that's told in Bhakti Ratnakara about one Rupa, Srila Rupa Goswami was deeply absorbed in meditation on Krishna's pastime. And one Vaishnava walked by. And at that time, Rupa Goswami, in his meditation, saw some very humorous dealing between Radha and Krishna. And when he saw that humorous dealing, what did he do? It was a very funny dealing. So what did he do? He left. And at that very time, a Vaishnava was walking by. So sometimes we also have this experience. Some devotees are talking or laughing, and they think, oh, they must be laughing at me. Because everyone tends to think that everything goes on. It's about them. So this devotee thought, oh, he's laughing at me because he walked in a funny way. So he thought, oh, Rupa Goswami is laughing at me. And he got insulted, and he walked away. So suddenly, it is said in Bhakti Ratnakara that Rupa Goswami found himself unable to his meditation to continue. So, and his mind was disturbed, and he didn't know why. He wasn't even aware that someone had walked by. So he went to Sri Padmasanatha Goswami, and he said, What happened? And suddenly I was meditating. Now I can't even think about Krishna. My mind's disturbed. So Sanatana Goswami said, you must have offended a Vaishnava. Just see how careful everyone was. What to do? I didn't even see anyone. What to speak of? Offend anyone? And how are we going to find out who I offended? He just immediately accepted. So Srila Sanatana Goswami said, what you should do is invite all the Vaishnavas to a feast, and someone will not come. And will know that was the one you offended. Everyone was so intelligent. So they did that, and then they discovered who the devotee who was offended was. So the story is interesting in many ways. First of all, there's a principle, and that's the main thing that we should learn. There's a principle. Be very careful about offending a Vaishnava, the devotees. And of course, this is the most difficult thing about living with devotees and living in a community of devotees, because you're dealing with the same people day after day, or week after week, or month after month. And it's so easy to not be careful and to carelessly offend someone. So a very important lesson. But on the other hand, it's a very peculiar story too, because Rupa Goswami, he didn't offend him at all. He didn't even see him. What to speak of laugh at him. And what to speak of Rupa Goswami being such an exalted person. It's almost more of offense for the person to think that Rupa Goswami had offended him than anything else. So the story has some funny elements in it, but the main point is very clear. So Govinda, everyone respected Govinda. As Priya Prabhura, Priya Britya, as very, very dear to Prabhu, to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the dearest servant. And everyone thought of him in that way. So like with Harisori Prabhu, when you see him, there's Harisori, but we don't think of him as Harisori. We think of, oh, someone who is his Prabhupada's servant. It's just natural, and so much affection and respect comes to him naturally from everyone because of that. So how nice is to be considered by all the devotees as a dear servant of the Vaishnavas. Usually in the material world, everyone wants to think of themselves upward mobility, but the Vaishnavas want downward mobility. So now both Haridas Senior and Haridas Junior, who are musicians, as well as Ramai and Nandai, used to stay with Govinda. So this doesn't seem to be Thakur Haridas, but there is Chota Haridas and Bara Haridas, and they're both musicians. They're both kirtaniyas in here. It's in kirtan. Musician doesn't mean they play the drums and the saxophone. They're kirtaniyas. They all remained with Govinda to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, no one could estimate the good fortune of Govinda. So the next person has come, Govinda. Then the next day, Mukunda Datta informed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Brahmananda Bharati has come to see you. Mukunda Datta then asked the Lord, shall I bring him here? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Brahmananda Bharati is like my spiritual master. It's better I go to him. So more etiquettes here. So one doesn't call the superior to come to him, but one goes to the superior. After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees came before the presence of Brahmananda Bharati. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees approached him, so he's senior, he's considered one of the roots of the tree that held up Mahaprabhu when he was in Jagannath Puri, one of the senior-most of the devotees there. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees approached Brahmananda Bharati, they saw that he was covered with a deer skin. Seeing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very unhappy. Purport. Brahmananda Bharati belonged to the Sankara Sampradaya. The title Bharati indicates one of the 10 sannyasis in the Sankara Sampradaya. There's the Saraswati Puri, Giri, different names, Bharati, different names of the sannyasis in the Sankara Sampradaya. So he was in that Sampradaya, and they keep the surname, almost the last name of the person. So it is a custom for a person who has renounced the world to cover his body with a deer skin or the bark of a tree. This is enjoined in the Manus Samhita. However, if a sannyasi who has renounced the world simply wears a deer skin and does not spiritually advance, he is simply puffed up and conceited. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not like to see Brahmananda Bharati wearing a deer skin. Generally, we think that this is because this is the practice of Mayavadi sannyasis. And this, if you go to up in the Himalayas, sometimes you'll see things like this. Like when Murghari the hunter, when he saw Narada Muni, he so much, his heart was attracted to him. So he said, you're so wonderful, let me give you some skins. Like that. And Narada Muni said, no, I want something else from you. I want a promise. Mm-hmm. He said, what promise? I'll give you whatever you want. And he said, don't half kill the animals, completely kill the animals. So that he said, why? Why are you asking me to not half kill them? I like doing that. I like to see them squirming in pain. And so when he asked the question, then he was ready to hear the answer. So then he told him about the law of karma and how much he was going to have to suffer. But in any case, he had offered him a deer skin, and other skins. So Mahaprabhu, this is the mark of a Mayavadi sannyasi, Mahaprabhu wasn't happy to see him in that way. Seeing Brahmananda Bharati thus attired, when they said, here is Brahmananda Bharati, Mahaprabhu hadn't met him before. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pretended not to see him. And instead, he asked Mukunda Datta, where is Brahmananda Bharati, my spiritual master? I don't see him. Mukunda Datta replied, here is Brahmananda. He was standing right in front of him. Here is Brahmananda Bharati in your presence. The Lord replied, you are incorrect. This is not Brahmananda Bharati. So these are the subtleties of etiquette. So instead of saying you shouldn't be wearing a deer skin, which would be a breach of etiquette to speak so directly to a superior, he said, this is not that person. The person who I respect wouldn't be wearing a deer skin. Must be someone else. So it's more gentle. It's a way of saying something, but in a gentle way. So this is not Brahmananda Bharati. You must be talking of someone else, for this is surely not Brahmananda Bharati. You say, and that's talking in front of Brahmananda Bharati. You simply have no knowledge. So he criticized Mukunda Datta for saying this is Brahmananda Bharati. So how do you think Mukunda Datta felt?
Confused. Happy. Amused.
Huh?
Amused.
Confused, happy, amused. Do you think he felt insulted? Because we just talked about how careful you have to be. Why didn't he get insulted?
Because the criticism was more of him than Brahmananda Bharati.
But why didn't he get insulted? He said, you simply have no knowledge. He said, Anyere Anyaka, this is someone else. Nahi Toma Gyan. You have no Gyan, you have no knowledge. I mean, that And he was just trying to help, you know, bring up the same Brahmananda Bharati. So why didn't he get insulted?
The mind of Chaitanya.
Yes. But what causes one to get insulted?
Pride.
Yeah. False ego, we can say. So he had no false ego. When false ego means you're thinking yourself something, and someone that you and then someone sees you in a different way, and then we become insulted. But he saw himself as Mahaprabhu's servant, and it was so strong that Mahaprabhu said, "You have no knowledge." And he said, "He just thought my master says I have no knowledge. I must." And he knows that he knows what's best for me. He knows the truth. So these must be right in some way. So there was no false ego attack coming. You simply have no knowledge. Bharati gosai kene paribena chama. Why would he wear this skin, Brahmana Bharati? When Brahmananda Bharati heard this, so he, okay, Mahaprabhu saw him in an etiquette way. He chastised Brahmananda Bharati, but keeping within the etiquette. And he, instead of criticizing Brahmananda Bharati, he criticized Mukunda Datta. And Mukunda Datta didn't get insulted because he was fully situated, fixed in real ego. But Brahmananda Bharati, now, if he had a... Because he was senior to Mahaprabhu, so... And Mahaprabhu was indirectly... Because this is what I noticed when you're dealing with this type of a culture, that people... And in India, you may... people hear what you're thinking. They don't hear what you're saying. Because everything is a little indirect. Yes or no? They hear what you're thinking. They don't. They listen to your words and then they interpret it and then understand what's he really thinking. Because no one speaks straight except the police officer. No, except the my time was, police officer. Never sorry. I didn't mean that. One time I was with one devotee. We were driving to Vrindavan from Delhi, from Noida, and. And some police officer pulled him over. He had a radar gun, and he pulled him over. And he said, "The speed limit is 80, and you were going more than 80." He said, "How is anyone supposed to know the speed limit? There's no signs anywhere at all." And he said, "I am just doing my duty." If you think this is incorrect. You can go to the town Faridabad, and you can pay the fine of 1,000 rupees there, or you can put 500 rupees in my pocket. That's funny, yes. Did you ever hear of such a thing happening in Bombay? They also do. Even with Modi as president, as prime minister, they still do. So the devotee, he told me when he got back in the car, he put 200 rupees in his pocket, and he said, "I only put 200 rupees in your pocket," he told the officer. And he said, "Tika." such a place. I didn't ask him for a bribe. I didn't touch any money or anything like that. He just put it in my pocket. What to do? So Brahmananda, I'm not sure exactly what that has to do with Brahmananda Bharati anymore. But oh yeah, he understood very easily what Mahaprabhu was saying. So Brahmananda Bharati heard this. He thought, "My deer skin is not approved by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." Now why? This is relatively typical. It's not outside of the culture. Thus admitting his mistake. What is the mistake? That Mahaprabhu doesn't like it. But something deeper. He did some introspection. Brahmananda Bharati thought. He spoke well. So when our false ego is aroused, because he could have said, "Wait a second, he is so much junior to me and he's respecting me, he's coming to see me because I'm his senior, he's respecting me, he's saying Brahmananda Bharati is like my guru," and then he's correcting me. So that's what the false ego would have said. So this is one of the characteristics if you're going to have a successful dealing, you can't have false ego involved, because you end up never hearing what the person is saying. You're reacting. So thus, admitting his mistake, Brahmanam Bharati thought, he spoke well. I put on this deerskin only for prestige. Oh, everyone will know I'm a renounced person. I cannot cross over the ocean of nations simply by wearing a deerskin. From today on, I shall not wear this deerskin. As soon as Brahmananda Bharati decided this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, understanding his mind, immediately sent for the robes of a sannyasi. As soon as Brahmananda Bharati gave up his deerskin and covered himself with sannyas robes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and offered his respects at his lotus feet. Brahmananda Bharati said, "You instruct the general populace by your behavior. I will not do anything against your wishes. Otherwise, you will not offer me respect, but you will neglect me, and I am afraid of this." So this is considered the even Varunadev, when he had kidnapped Nanda Maharaj, not he kidnapped, but one of his foolish dutas kidnapped Nanda Maharaj. And because Nanda Maharaj, he had considered, had bathed at the wrong time in the Yamuna after breaking the Ekadasi, Krishna became very angry, and Varunadev's mood was, either forgive me or punish me, but do not neglect me. So this is considered the greatest punishment. Like we mentioned this in relationship to how Mahaprabhu dealt with Kala Krishna, though. You know, he can do whatever he likes. He's not my responsible anymore. Go. So this is proper behavior. So you instruct the general population, loka shikshaite, by your behavior. Tomara acha, your behavior instructs the general population. And I will not do this anymore. I am afraid in my mind that you will not deal with me anymore, because you didn't recognize me when I was wearing this. You didn't see me. You were looking at me, but you didn't see me. In other words, you were neglecting me. So therefore, I want to be interacting with you. Otherwise, you will not offer me respects, but will neglect me. I am afraid of this. He wasn't afraid of not getting respect, but that was their relationship, because he was senior. He was afraid of not having any relationship with Mahaprabhu, that Mahaprabhu wouldn't interact with him. And then Brahmananda Bharati said, "At the present moment, I see two Brahmans," because it said that he's coming from the Brahmavadi side. "One Brahman is Lord Jagannath, who does not move, and the other Brahman, who is moving, is you. Lord Jagannath is Archa Vigraha, the worshipable deity, and it is he who is the non-moving Brahman. However, you are Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you are moving here and there. Both of you are the same Brahman, master of material nature, but you are playing two parts, one moving and one not moving. In this way, two Brahmans are now residing in Jagannath Puri Purushottama." So it's interesting, because the impersonals, the Mayavadis, the sannyasis, when they greet each other, they say Namo Narayan. Did you ever see that? Did you see that in Vrindavan? Yeah, in Vrindavan, yeah, they see each other, Namo Narayan. And even in, and they respect everyone as in Sringeri Math. Have you been to Sringeri
Math? Yes.
Yeah. So above the, what is the name of the Lord Shiva? It's Vidya Shankar. Vidya Shankar is the name of the temple there. So right above the altar, it says Aham Brahmasmi. This is the Mahavak, just like we read all the books. Aham Brahmasmi, just there in polished Devanagari, because they think that everyone is Brahman, and by taking sannyas, one is actually immediately on that platform. So he's seeing Mahaprabhu, and he's speaking as if he's a Mayavad sannyasi in one sense, saying, you are Brahman. There's two kinds of Brahman. Lord Jagannath is not moving Brahman, and you are moving Brahman. And so we would usually dispute that, but in the case of Mahaprabhu, he's correct. He's Brahman. Brahma means the greatest. So he's correct. Of the two Brahmans, you are fair complexion, and the other, Lord Jagannath, is blacker. Gauravana, Shamalavana. However, both of you are delivering the whole world, Jagataran. Dvi Brahme, Koila, Sabha, Jagataran. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, actually, to tell you the truth, due to your presence, there are now two Brahmans in Jagannath Puri. He said, both Brahmananda and Gaurahari are moving, whereas the blackish Lord Jagannath is sitting tight and immobile. Purport. Brahmananda Bharati wanted to prove that there's no difference between the Supreme Lord and the Jiva, so he's speaking from the impersonalist point of view. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to prove that he and Brahmananda Bharati were Jivas. Though the Jivas are Brahman, they are many. But the Supreme Lord, the Parabrahman, the Supreme Brahman, is one. On the other hand, Brahmananda Bharati wanted to prove that Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are one, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But to fulfill his mission, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to be moving, whereas Lord Jagannath appeared to be inert. However, both of them were one and the same. Thus, this jolly argument was going on. Finally, Brahmananda Bharati referred the whole matter to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya for a final decision. Mahaprabhu also referred a difficult question to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and here Brahmananda Bharati is going to do the same. Is it clear what he was saying? That two of the Supreme, Brahmananda Bharati said, Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath, and he's correct. But Mahaprabhu wanted to teach that the living entity, and they are different, even though they are Brahman, they are different from the Supreme Lord. So he's putting the two of them, Brahmananda Bharati and he himself, Gaurahari, in the same category. Brahmananda Bharati said, Brahmananda Bharati said, my dear Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, please become the mediator in this logical argument between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and me. Brahmananda Bharati continued, the living entity is localized, whereas the Supreme Brahman is all-pervading. That is the verdict of revealed scriptures. Purport. Brahmananda Bharati drew Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's attention because he wanted him to judge the argument. He then stated that Brahman, the Supreme Lord, is all-pervading. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Chatragyam chapimam vidi sarva chatresu balata. Chatra chatra gyo gyanam yattaj gyanam matam mama. O seer of Bharata, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies, and to understand this body and its owner is called knowledge. That is my opinion. Prabhupada's purport continues. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Paramatma feature is expanded everywhere. The Brahma Samhita says, Andantarasta Paramanu Chayantarastam. By virtue of his all-pervasive nature, the Supreme Lord is within the universe as well as within all elements of the universe. He is even within the atom. In this way, the Supreme Lord Govinda is all-pervasive. Okay, let's see. Anyone listen to that? What did I just read?
In this way, the Supreme Lord is all-pervasive. That's what I call
it. It's hard to pay attention, isn't it? Especially
in
the evening.
Especially
here. The stories are okay, but soon as we talk some Mayavad philosophy or something, because it's quite amazing if one stops a moment and thinks about it, saying that the Supreme Lord is all-pervading, even in every atom. So that means, and that's Govinda he's talking about, that everywhere Krishna is actually present. I mean, if you think about it, then Krishna never steps out of Vrindavan, and Krishna and all the universes, etc., come from him. So in every place, in every atom, there is Krishna and everything.
Krishna, original Krishna or Vishnu Krishna?
He's saying Govinda. Paramanu Tayantarastam Govinda Mari Krishna. So when you talk about Paramatma, you're also talking about who is Paramatma, but Krishna, it's an aspect of Krishna. It's Govinda Mari Purusham Tamahamrajani. And also it's, if Yam Sharma Sundaram Achintya Gunasarupam, you see, the devotee, if he has that consciousness, Premanjana Chorita Bhakti, he'll see Sharma Sundar everywhere. What do you think about that? Yeah, and everything is in everything. Krishna is in everything, and everything is in Krishna. And then, so it goes infinitely like that, in everything. So Krishna is in every atom, okay? And then in Krishna is everything. And then in everything is Krishna. And then in Krishna there's everything. So infinitely, an infinite regression of inconceivable potency of Krishna. And the scientists get very proud when they make these new atom smashes that really go fast. They'll never, every increase in their attempt to get deeper knowledge, they end up with more questions and more confusion. So the Supreme Lord is within the universe as well as within all elements of the universe. On the other hand, the living entities are very, very small. It is said that the living entity is 1/10,000th of the tip of a hair. Therefore, the living entity is localized. It's in one place. Living entities rest on the Brahman effulgence, the bodily rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada is putting the point that there's a difference between the Supreme Lord and the living entity, even though both are qualitatively the same. They are both composed of Brahman. But one is Parabrahman and one is Anu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu purified me by taking away my deer skin. This is proof that he is all-pervasive and all-powerful, and that I am subordinate to him. So he's saying that I'm not in the same category as Mahaprabhu. Brahmananda Bharati herein asserts that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the supreme Brahman and that he is the subordinate, he himself is the subordinate Brahman. This is confirmed in the Vedas, Nityo Nityanam, Chaitanas Chaitanananam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Brahman or Parabrahman, the chief of all living entities. Both the Supreme Brahman or the Personality of Godhead and the living entities are persons, but the Supreme Brahman is the predominator, whereas the living entities are predominated. And then he quotes a verse from the Mahabharata saying that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord. His bodily hue, his bodily color is golden. Suvarna Varna Hemango. And his whole body is like molten gold. Every part of his body is very beautifully constructed and smeared with sandalwood pulp. Accepting the renounced order, the Lord is always equipoised. He is firmly fixed in his mission of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and he is firmly situated in his dualistic conclusions and his peace. Nishta Shanta Parayana. All the symptoms mentioned in the verse from Vishnu Sahasranam Stotra are visible in the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His arms are decorated with ornamental bangles made of sandalwood pulp and with the thread received from the Sri Jagannath deity. After hearing this, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya rendered his judgment. Now what is he going to say? Is he going to take the side that all the living entities are this, make the distinction between the jivas and the Supreme Lord, or is he going to take the side that Mahaprabhu is in the category of the Supreme Lord? What do you think, Jimmy?
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord.
Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya rendered his judgment, saying, Brahmananda Bharati, I see that you are victorious. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately said, I accept whatever Brahmananda Bharati has said. It is quite all right with me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus posed himself as a disciple and accepted Brahmananda Bharati as his spiritual master. He then said, the disciple is certainly defeated in an argument with the spiritual master. Brahmananda Bharati immediately countered these words, saying, this is not the cause of your defeat. There's another cause. This is your natural characteristic. So immediately he put Brahmananda Bharati up above him. That's why he was defeated. And Brahmananda Bharati said, no, that's not why I've been defeated. So this is very, very sweet exchange, actually. And if there was false ego involved, it would not have turned out sweet. This is your natural characteristic. You accept defeat at the hands of your devotee. But there is also another glory of yours, which I ask you to hear attentively. I've been meditating on the impersonal Brahman since my birth. But since I've seen you, I have fully experienced Krishna. Tomo deki Krishna hoyla mora vidyaman. I'm experiencing Krishna when I see you. fourth thought by Prabhupada. Brahmananda Bharati admitted that when there was an argument between the spiritual master and the disciple, the spiritual master is actually victorious, although the disciple may put forward strong arguments. Actually, I'm not going to read this. We'll read this next time. Because there's more. Any questions or comments? Very sweet dealing. Yeah.
When you were reading about Brahmananda Bharati glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and one's moving Brahman, one's stationary Brahman, it was reminding me of something else in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I think Swarup Damodar was screening something, and he didn't accept it. I just wonder if you can remember.
Oh, I can't remember the point on that. That's
because it sounded very similar kind of description.
But
they part of the part of misconceptions in the philosophy.
Yeah, there was Rasabhas. He said there was Rasabhas there. But he came to an atheistic conclusion that Lord Jagannath was only wood. Something like that. And it does say that the Lord Jagannath is inert, which would bring out that mood. But except that's not really what was meant. By inert, mean not moving, not capable of moving, because Lord Jagannath does move. He's moved. Yesterday he moved for Snanayatra. Have you been to Jagannath Puri during the Rath Yatra or anything? Have you?
No.
Baba, have you been to Rath Yatra in Puri?
Not in Puri, but in Mumbai. Not in Puri.
Would you like to go to see Lord Jagannath in Puri?
Yeah. I will.
Maybe you will. If Visual Prabhu goes, you will go to take care of him, I think. But just see how the dealings are just very, very sweet, and everyone pushes the other up in the material world. Everyone is pushing the other one down. Questions or comments? But yeah, I see what you mean, though. You have to read to see what it said. But sometimes the same thing may be said with a different intent, too. So, anyone else have anything to say?
Something connected with Vaishnava Prabhu. It seems the strong tendency of the mind is to look towards negative qualities. So somebody may be a very good devotee and have so much sincerity and all that, but the tendency can be, people say, he's got this fault and that fault. So I'm just wondering, that is that a major Vaishnava parade, or is it also necessary to have some discrimination to see, what are the maybe weaknesses in that Vaishnava?
That's practical. But there shouldn't be any envy or enmity involved. And the rule is that Kramya Gatana Shunive, don't hear just the casual talking and criticism of people. Anybody. But if you're in a position where it's your duty to deal with a person practically, then you have to be practical. But especially when correcting a devotee, one should check one's consciousness to see if there's affection in the heart. And then you can correct properly. Like dealing with children, you have to correct the children. But if you're angry at them while you're correcting, it will have one effect. But if you're affectionate while correcting, it will have another. You have to deal practically. if everything's always sweet and like that, then the roof could be caving in and no one wants to talk about it because life has to be practical too. So to know when to use which principle is, of course, takes wisdom. But, the basic principle in instructing another is you make sure your consciousness is right first, and you're thinking of the benefit of the other person or the benefit of the whole the situation.
That sometimes seems to be a difficulty because certain qualities may annoy one, and therefore there's a little bit of a grudge there. One thinks, well, better just be quiet because I've got some particular, there's certain trait that annoys me about that person, so if I say anything, that's probably my own motivation rather than...
Yeah, but in the circumstance you're talking about, is it your duty to talk to him? In other words, say if you have a position of authority in a temple, and someone in the temple who is your responsibility in the temple. He's doing something that's not correct. So in that situation, you may have some bad feelings about them. So should you let that stop you from correcting them when it's your duty to correct them? So that's, I'm just putting your question like that. You have to do it, but you should realize your own, that Krishna's also correcting you while you're correcting him. He's correcting both of you, so it makes you more humble. Yeah, sometimes we, yeah, you have to do your duty. If we wait till we're perfect before doing anything, nothing will ever get done. But when we're confronted with our limitation, we should become humble, humbler. But still, we have to do it. What do you think? What do you think? You're our manager.
One thing is, many devotees also have an extraordinary quality.
That's a nice way of saying it.
Because I've often been in the headspace of thinking, oh, this one's got that flaw, that one's got that flaw.
Yeah.
Can we also think of the devotees and think of what their special quality is?
Are you talking about the positive ones or the eccentric ones?
All of them. They've probably got some extraordinary quality.
Do you mean extraordinary eccentric or extraordinary ability to do something?
Maybe some extraordinary aspect of their Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
Something that I don't possess myself.
Yeah.
And that can be a much more pleasant meditation.
Yeah.
You must think about other devotees. Your mind has to think about something. Again, we better to think of what extraordinary quality they possess.
Yeah.
Rather. But I'm usually in the other spaces again.
Yeah.
This one's got that
fault,
this one's
got that fault. Well, one reason is in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, it describes that the negative emotions are more powerful than the positive emotions.
In material consciousness?
In spiritual consciousness and material consciousness, in the sense that if you're angry at somebody, it's the most powerful emotion to keep that person in your mind thinking about the person, angry or envious, even more than, you know, if you have affection for someone. Like if you're feeling affection for someone, you're feeling angry at someone else, which one are you going to think of? You're going to think of the person that you're angry at. Because it's those emotions are so powerful. That's described in the first chapter of the seventh canto.
It's described as Ranikashipu's enmity.
Yeah. Well, that was the point. That's the point that comes up, is that even if you're thinking about Krishna, meditating on Krishna is so powerful, that even if you're thinking about them with enmity, you'll be purified. Not that we should take that path, but it's glorifying the potency of thinking about Krishna. That's actually the point that's being made there. What to do?
Keep in mind the sheep and then you can stick it in.
What does that mean?
So it's all back to the instruction.
What does it mean?
The mind's always...
I know, that part of it. Does it mean that you should take your shoes and hit your head, the side of your head? You should take... What does it mean?
It means you should put it in its place. What does it mean when a parent hits the kid with a shoe? It's putting the kid in its place. So it means you've got to put the mind... That's why I took it as a... Sorry, hit somebody with a stick. It means they're putting that person in their place. So you've got to put the mind in its place.
So what's the place of the mind that it should be put in? Not in charge.
You're not in charge. You're not in charge here.
You're not in charge here. And the mind says, oh, yeah? Let's see. Wait till tomorrow. Let's see who's carrying the stick tomorrow. That's the mind. It makes it, it like hides for a little while. But also Raghunath Das Goswami, he has a different style in dealing with the mind. He pleads with the mind, begs it, and prays to it to develop attachment to Krishna. Mm-hmm. So there's different styles. Mm-hmm. But I've just been reading in the 11th chapter of the 5th canto what Jad Bharat says about the mind to Rahugana. It really, and Prabhupada's purports there are so powerful. That and in the Rishabdev chapter, maybe in the 5th chapter, with a lot of instructions on dealing with the mind are there. And in both places, Prabhupada's purport says that the best way to train the mind is neglect. So what that means is that when the mind insists on something, that you don't humbly submit. And then it grabs onto something else very quickly. That's the mind. Okay, good night. Hare Krishna. So Saturday, Krishna willing, we'll finish this topic and then move on to the end. I think we'll probably end.